John chapter number 12, I want to read verses 1 and verse 2 and just lift out a little thought tonight and try to develop some thoughts on, get you out early so you'll be ready to spend a long time for Brother Brown tomorrow night. John chapter number 12, and begin reading in verse 1. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, and watch your phrase, which had been dead. I like that past tense. Which had been dead. Thank God he's not dead anymore, because he has had an experience with the resurrection and the life. Aren't you glad you're not lost anymore? But you have had an experience with Jesus Christ, the Savior. Where Lazarus was, which had been dead. There they made him, said out loud with me, a supper. Now, just in case there might be some transplanted Yankees here, they didn't make him a brunch or a dinner. They made him a supper. You have breakfast in the morning, dinner at 12, and supper in the evening. That's what it means in the Greek. And there they made him a supper. And Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. And I'm interested in that phrase in verse 2, that sat at the table. Now in verse 1, it said Lazarus, which had been dead. Would you agree with me tonight that when we first meet Lazarus, he is dead and in the tomb? But when you come down to chapter 12 in verse 2, he is not dead and in the tomb, but he is dining at the table. Praise God. From the tomb to the table. And someone said, what can cause such a drastic change from the tomb to the table? Because he had a head-on collision with Jesus Christ. And if you're saved tonight, spiritually, you have made that journey. From being dead in trespasses and in sin, to being quickened and raised and seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Aren't you glad tonight that Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed, and he invites not his frozen people, but chosen people, come and dine. I was dead in my sin, but now I'm alive and quickened by the power of God. From the tomb to the table. If you're here tonight and you're saved spiritually, you have made that journey. And thank God one day we that are saved physically and gloriously and eternally will make that journey again. We will arise from the sleep of death to the marriage supper of the Lamb. I'm glad, praise God, with Jesus Christ, you can go from the tomb to the table. I love that little word, Lazarus. In the Greek, it means the Lord is my helper. How can one make such a journey from the tomb of his sin to the table of his salvation? Because the Lord is our helper. There are two Lazarus in the New Testament. And it was amazing to find out that both of these Lazarus are mentioned in the Bible under the shroud of death. Of course, this Lazarus in our text, the brother of Martha and Mary, dies and is in the grave, and he's resurrected by the power of Jesus Christ. And then that other Lazarus that was a beggar, that laid at the rich man's gate, that begged the crumbs, he was ushered into the presence of Father Abraham in paradise with a heavenly escort. Now that tells me something. Whether in life or death, the Lord is our helper. And I'm glad, praise God, we're saved tonight because the Lord is our helper. We know that our name is written in heaven tonight because the Lord is our helper. We know that God answers prayer and meets our need because the Lord is our helper. And it's not only something we know in life, it's something that we know in death and even throughout all eternity, that the Lord is our helper. And I'm glad tonight because of that we can go from the tomb to the table. In our text tonight from these verses, let me give you several things about Lazarus from the tomb to the table. When we first meet Lazarus back in chapter number 11, he is sick. In fact, the Bible said they send word to Jesus that your friend Lazarus is sick. And Jesus does not get in a hurry. And may I remind you, when you're God, you don't have to get in a hurry. When you're the great physician, you don't have to get in a hurry. And if your patient dies before you get there, when you're also the resurrection and the life, you really don't have to get in a hurry. And finally they came and said, it's too late, he's more than sick, he's dead. Then Jesus said, let's go. Have you ever wondered why you can burn down a whole forest while God is still searching for a match? You'll get that after a while. Have you ever wondered why God seems to take his time while you and I are chewing our fingernails down to our knuckles? I'm telling you what, ladies and gentlemen, God has a purpose and a plan and a time. I didn't know this till the other day, but the Jews had a superstition that if somebody died, if you could get the priest to them within 72 hours and pray the right kind of prayer, you might could invoke that spirit back into that body. But on the fourth day is the day corruption sets in, and they felt like on the beginning of the fourth day it was absolutely impossible. I believe if Jesus would have went that first day, some preacher would have said, I prayed Lazarus out of the grave. Or some flaming evangelist said, I had a campaign, and we campaigned Lazarus out of the grave. If he'd have went on that third day, some politician said, I raised enough money and got him out of the grave. But Jesus went on that day when they said, it's too late, it's over, it's finished. Jesus went and did what no man could do, and they couldn't give anybody the glory but the Son of the living God. And I'm telling you, Lazarus is dead and in the tomb. Guess what we were before we were saved by the grace of God? The Bible said we were dead in trespasses and in sin. You say, I wasn't dead, I was alive. You may have been alive to the things of this world, but you were dead to the things of God. You know why you didn't understand the Bible before you got saved? You were dead. You know why you didn't enjoy church before you got saved? You were dead. You know why you didn't get anything out of the preaching? You were dead. Dead people don't eat. Dead people don't laugh. Dead people don't fellowship. Dead people don't walk. I believe I preached in a few dead churches because they meet all of the symptoms of being dead. I just read. You say, what was I before I got saved? You were a walking dead person. May I remind you tonight that man is a sinner by birth and by nature and by choice. He is not only a disobedient sinner, he is not only a depraved sinner, he is not only a diabolical sinner, but he is a dead sinner. He possesses no faith. He possesses no hope. And there is no spark of divinity that if you flame in the right environment, he will evolve into a spiritual being. No, man is a fallen creature. He's a sinful creature. He's a sinner by birth and by nature and by choice. And he possesses no hope whatsoever at all outside of the grace of God. Lazarus is dead, and so were we before we were saved by the grace of God. You say, how dead was Lazarus? He was 4 days dead. You say, how dead was Lazarus? He was stinking dead. Because when Jesus went to that tomb, Martha said, don't do that. He stinketh. And guess what our lives were before we got saved? Stinking dead. You stunk before you got saved. Some of us, our mouth stunk before we got saved. Our life stunk. We looked stunk. We acted stunk. Everything we did stunk. We had the stunk and the stench of sin all over us. I'm telling you tonight, if you've never been saved by the grace of God, your life is a stench in the nostrils of a holy God. You may go to some liberal church that has no convictions and no Bible preaching and leave feeling better about yourself. But I promise you, when sovereignty comes and when deity comes and holiness comes and old time conviction comes, you'll fall down like the Apostle Paul and say, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of sin? He was dead. He was stinking dead. Listen to this. He was trapped dead. He was dead and in the tomb, and an unmovable stone was put at the door. He was trapped dead. You know what we were before we got saved? We were not only stinking sinners, we were trapped sinners. And someone said, how dead was Lazarus? He's 4 days dead. He's stinking dead. He's trapped dead. Worse than that, he's bound up dead. For they wound him up in grave clothes and bathed him over with aloes, and it was like a hardened cast all over his body. Well, I'm glad to have Lazarus among us tonight. But Lazarus was in a body cast. He was bound with grave clothes. He's not only dead, he's stinking dead, he's trapped dead, he's bound up dead. He's wired up dead. He is trapped in his deadness. And I promise you tonight that Lazarus cannot free himself. Lazarus cannot loose himself. Lazarus cannot raise himself. And Lazarus cannot bring life into himself. He is hopeless. He is helpless. He's stinking. He's trapped. He's dead. He's bound. It looks like he's going to lay in that grave forever. May I remind you, the happiest day in your life outside of being saved is when the Holy Ghost convicts you and you realize you need to be saved, that you're a sinner by birth and by nature and by choice. You can't save yourself. You can't free yourself. You can't resurrect yourself. You stand in need of a divine intervention of the grace of God. You hear this country preacher tonight, it takes God to save a sinner. It takes God to save a sinner. Man's in a fix. Every part of man was affected by the fall. It affected his mind because the Bible said that the God, speaking of Satan of this world, hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. It affected his heart because the Bible said man's heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? I've heard people say this, and they don't mean any harm by it, but they'll say, if I know my heart. Well, the Bible says you don't. It is so deceitful. Who can know it? I don't believe we realize just how wicked we really are outside of the grace of God. It affected his spirit because it is dead and fallen down into its depraved soul. It affected his will because he's disobedient and he's not seeking God and he's hiding from God and he's running from God. It even affected his body because the Bible said the wages of sin is death and death is passed upon all men. Oh, his whole soul is affected. His mind is affected. His heart is affected. Every part about him is sinful. He's depraved from the top to the bottom, from the outside to the inside. He's a sinner. He's a trapped sinner. He's a depraved sinner. He's a stinking sinner. He's a bound up sinner. And he can't save himself. And his sister's weeping couldn't save him. And the sympathy of the friends couldn't save him. It looks like he's going to be bound up in that tomb through all eternity. But praise God, coming down Bethany Road is the resurrection and the life. And he's the only one that can get Lazarus up out of that grave. If Lazarus would have been alive in our day, he'd have went to a contemporary church and the preacher would have walked out and said, "You're a winner." He's not a winner, he's a stinking dead man. Well, I'm not going to go to one of them churches that tells it like it is. I'm going to go to one of them churches that gives you that fuzzy feeling. You'll fuzzy feel your way all the way to hell. Someone said, "I just don't want to expose my kids to that." I'm glad I got exposed to that. I was out witnessing the other day. I was getting my hair cut. Well, the three in the back, I was getting them cut. I only got three, and they're 9 foot long, and I had to roll them around. That lady was cutting my hair. She said, "You look like you're in a hurry." I said, "Ma'am, I was born in a hurry. Get with it." She said, "What's so important?" I said, "I got King's business to take care of." "Really?" "Yeah, I got to go to the airport to catch a plane. I got some King business to take care of." She said, "What in the world is that?" I said, "I got to go preach the gospel. Hurry up." She said, "Well, I was raised in one of them hellfire damnation preaching churches." I said, "Is that right?" She said, "Yeah, boy, it bothered me bad. I had problems sleeping at night." I said, "I did too for a while." And you ain't never had to hide preached off of you. You sat in the service, one of them Holy Ghost filled mountain preachers, buddy. They could preach on hell so hot you could smell the fire. My dad used to preach every Sunday night on "The King is Coming." I mean, it didn't matter if he took his text on tithing or being faithful. He got on that King coming, and he got on them scorpions coming out of that pit and them horses coming down. And I'd go to bed, pull the cover over my head and think, "Oh, God." And this is what that woman said. She said, "I don't go to church, and I'm never going back to church. I've got a 7-year-old girl. I don't want her nerves tore up. I'm not going to take her to a church where they preach that hellfire and damnation." But what's so sad about it, when she stands at the great white throne judgment and watches God cast her whole family into a lake of fire, she'd have wished to God she'd have went to a church where a man of God preached the word of God and put the fear of God. Brother, if Lazarus was in this modern day, he'd have went to a contemporary church and some little sissy preacher would have patted him on the back and said, "Wow, something good's going to happen to you today." Ain't nothing good going to happen to dead people except they get resurrected from death unto life. If Lazarus would have been a modern day person, he'd have went to a modern day church and somebody said, "I know what we need to do. We need to psychoanalyze that boy. I'm going to tell you what you'd find out. He's dead." "Oh, I know what we need to do. We need to get us a big sister and a big brother government program and get him some upward basketball and some afternoon classes and seminar that guy." You know what they'd find out? He couldn't bounce a ball because he's a dead man. "Well, we need to raise some money and get him a political meeting." He's still a dead man. You can't buy what he needs. You can't manufacture what he needs. You can't conjure up what he needs. You can't psychoanalyze what he needs. You can't moral what he needs. You can't legislate what he needs. Oh, the only thing that's going to help him is the resurrection. He can't do it. And Martha can't do it. And Mary can't do it. And all the weeping friends can't do it. And the disciples can't even do it. And I'm telling you, praise God. Coming down Bethany Boulevard is the resurrection and the life. And it can do for Lazarus what Lazarus can't do for himself. I was a sinner. Then Jesus passed by. I was a stinking sinner. But Jesus passed by. I was a dead sinner. But Jesus passed by. I was a bound sinner. But Jesus passed by. The hope of the world is still Jesus Christ. He's dead, stinking, bound up, dead, and in the tomb. But as Paul Harvey says, page two, here's the rest of the story. Aren't you glad the scene doesn't close with Lazarus? Dead, stinking dead, bound up dead, trapped dead. Aren't you glad God wrote another verse? Glory. Aren't you glad the story of your life doesn't end with a sinner by birth and by nature and by choice? God wrote another verse. And Lazarus is not only dead, but number two in this text, Lazarus is delivered. He is brought back to life. He is resurrected from the dead. He is delivered from everything that was wrong in his life. He wasn't reformed. He was delivered. He was not psychoanalyzed. He was delivered. He didn't taper off of being dead. He didn't go to a dead dryout clinic. He didn't take a seminar on how to get over being dead. My God Almighty, he got delivered. Now I want to tell you what people need. They need deliverance. I said they need deliverance. You said, oh my God, you are a Baptist preacher, and Baptist preachers don't preach on the word deliverance. This Baptist preacher does, because this book is a deliverance book. He's a deliverance God. His blood, whoa, is the delivering power. He got delivered. You know why you're saved tonight? You got delivered. You say, what's so great about Lazarus' deliverance? I love this. You know how Jesus delivered Lazarus? He came to where he was. Lazarus did not get up and go looking for Jesus. He can't get up. He's dead. So Jesus went to where he was. I've got wrote on my outline, run right here. Jesus went to Bethany. And by the way, he knows where to go and how to get there. If you don't think God is very, very accurate in his salvation, he went to the right city. He went to the right cemetery. He went to the right crypt. Well, you ought to alliterate it if it's going to have the power of God on it. He went to the right place. He went to the right person. He went to the right period. All right, I'll just give it to you like a redneck. He went to the right place at the right time to do the right thing. He went to where he was. Praise God, aren't you glad when you were stinking, trapped, bound up, tangled up, dead, you could not go to where he was? But he came to where you were. I'm telling you the great mystery of the Bible. Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to us, praise God. Brother Squire Parson was at our church a while back. And I love to gouge at real quiet people. Brother Squire's quiet and real humble. And he walked in my office. He said, "What have you been doing, Joe?" I said, "Squire, I've been writing songs." "I didn't know you was a songwriter." I said, "Oh, man, I've been writing some masterpieces." I said, "Squire, can I sing you a verse of my latest?" He said, "Oh, I would love to, brother." I said, "Beulah Land, hi." He went, "I love that song." I held up my money. I said, "Yeah, Squire, I bet you do." Hello. And I don't know many people that named a whole publishing company after one song. Come on now, get a witness. And I had Squire in my office, and I was telling him how much I love. I said, "Squire, listen, I'm just picking at you. I said, I love Beulah Land. They might even sing a verse of that in heaven. Who knows?" I said, "Squire, you've never written a bad song." I said, I like the song you wrote about, "I sing because there's an empty grave." I said, "Squire, I like Greatest of All Miracles, and I like I Stand Amazed, and Master of the Sea, and Look for Me at Jesus' Feet." I said, "Squire, I like all your songs." I said, "But Squire Parson, you were at the apex of your career. You were at your best. You will never do any better than He Came to Me." I said, "Squire, in that song you said there was a gulf fixed and I couldn't cross it. I couldn't ford it. From where I was to where God was, that demand seemed so far." I said, "But Squire, in your song you cried out, oh Lord, I cannot come where you are." And I said, "Brother Squire, you really nailed down the gospel when you said this, He came to me. He came to me when I could not go to where Jesus was. He came to me." You know why you're saved tonight? You know why you're delivered tonight? Because the God of glory, He came to where we were. He came. Went to the right town, went to the right cemetery, went to the right grave. He went, He came, He went to where He was. And if you don't think God's not accurate in His salvation design, He even called him by name. Read the book. He didn't walk up there to that cemetery and say, "Come forth." If he'd have did that, bless God, every dead person in the world would have walked out. He said, "Lazarus, come forth." He called him by name. He's a personal Savior. He's a personal Savior. I like John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." I like that. I like Ephesians chapter number 5. He loved the church. But man, let me tell you where the rubber really meets the road. In Galatians chapter number 2, where Paul said, "He loved me. He loved me." Thank God He loved the world. Thank God He loved the church. But hallelujah to the Lamb of God. He loved me. He bled for me. He died for me. He got up for me. He sent the Holy Ghost for me. Thank God, I'm glad He called His own by name. Amen. I said amen. God knows whose He's a saving. Called him by name. Don't believe in that. Well, he calls Zacchaeus by name. "Zacchaeus, come down." He called Mary by name. "Mary, calm down." Then he called Lazarus by name and said, "Come out." Hello. God calls people by name. "Adam, where art thou?" Come on now. "Simon, Simon." "Abraham, Abraham." Praise God. Woo! That ought to make a Methodist want to get sprinkled again. Say amen. Woo! You remember that time you went to church? Getting saved was the farthest thing from your mind. You went to get somebody to shut up and quit asking you to go. You went to satisfy your mama and went to shut your wife up. I'm going to tell you, boys, it's going to take more than you go to church to shut her up, and I'm just going to tell you that right now. But anyway, somebody get me out of this. She says, you got yourself in it, get yourself out of it. Hey, you didn't go to get saved. You went because somebody asked you, and you sat down in the back where all the sinners sit. Where all the tobacco chewers and snuff dippers. Come on now, sit. You just kind of got it off your mind. I mean, you didn't listen to the choir. You didn't listen to the preacher. I mean, you shopped, you hunted, you fished, you played golf. Something else occupied your mind. Your body was there, but your mind wasn't there. And as soon as that service was out, you was going to get out of there and never go back again. But about halfway through that preacher's message, bless God, somebody called your name. And it wasn't your father, and it wasn't your mother, and it wasn't your wife, and it wasn't your girlfriend. It was the blessed God of heaven, the sweet Holy Ghost, the Lamb of God, called your name, got your attention, drew you to God. I'm glad, hallelujah, he called him by name and came to where he was. Hey, hallelujah. And said, Lazarus, come forth. And guess what happened? He came forth. News flash. This just in. You know what got Lazarus up out of that grave? You ready? The power and the authority of the spoken word of God. Like I'll quote a few scriptures. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Like I'll quote some more. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Like I'll quote some more. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life, begotten by the word, pricked by the word, quickened by the word. You know what got Lazarus up? The authority and the power of the spoken word of God. There's power in the word. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Jesus didn't pick up a rock and throw it over there and knock him upside the head. He didn't even have somebody to go over there and blow on him. I've read John 11 100 times preaching through the Gospel of John this year. I'm telling you, Jesus never touched him. He just spoke it. Somebody said, oh, God, I wish I knew I was saved. I can tell you how. Get in that book. You know, Brother Bob Darty, one of the greatest preachers that's ever trod through Georgia and Tennessee. I love Bob. Brother Bob Darty, that's page number 791 in your Schofield. I said to Bob Darty one time, I said, suppose they ain't got a Schofield. He said, bless God, that's their problem. Not like that preacher from Sand Mountain, Alabama. He's preaching the other day. He said, hey, you boys that's been to Bible college and got that old Schofield Bible, you better get rid of that thing, man, and get you a King James. He don't even have any idea what I said. He just amen in it. That is a classic. Woo! Now where was I? Before the Schofield thing. Where was I? You don't know, you weren't listening either, were you? Bob Daugherty. No, before that, Donald, you're about three shades behind us. Brother Bob Daugherty, he was at a camp meeting. Let me just say this. If crazy stuff breaks out and mass confusion breaks out, I'm just going to tell you now, God is not in that. He is not the author of confusion. Never has been and never will be, bub. And he got one of them camp meetings where it got plumb crazy. I mean, where they preached against everything. Deodorant, socks, colored shirts, hairspray. That wouldn't bother me and you a bit if they preached all night on hairspray, would it, bub? It wouldn't bother me none. Wouldn't bother you either. I'll preach on that pink shirt, bless God. You know, I'd hate to think that's all I had to preach. I got some books I'll give you if you'll just read them. Well, then they got to preaching on about being saved, and boy, and let me just say this. If you are a lost church member, in the name of God, don't go to hell from a church pew. Get saved. Amen, get saved. But I'm going to tell you something now. God don't save 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 times. You need to get that thing settled. Can I get a witness? And this preacher's wife came down to the altar, and about 35, 45 minutes just moaning and groaning. And finally the moderator said, Dr. Bob, go pray with her. Brother Bob got down there and said, honey, what's wrong? She said, I don't got what that preacher's got. Brother Bob said, honey, I ain't got what he's got either, but I'm saved. She said, but Brother Bob, he said, if I didn't say this, and I didn't say this, and I didn't say it like this, and I didn't say it like this, and I didn't know what the weather was like, and all this other, I wasn't saved. He said, ma'am, go to the book, 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. These things are written to you that you believe, that you may know, that you have eternal life. Someone said, how do you know you're saved? It lines up with the book. It lines up with the book. It may not match some preacher's experience or somebody else's experience, but faith in the power of the Word of God. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. If we receive the witness of man, the witness of God is greater. We're saved, begotten, resurrected, born again by the power of the Word of God. It's the book. It's the book. It's the Word of God. Woo! Man told my daddy one night, he said, I know I'm saved. Because I woke up one night, and at the foot of my bed was the booger man. He said, man, that was that weekend your mother-in-law came over to see you. Get real. He said, the booger man was at the foot of my bed. Said that was a red light on one side. Had horns on it. And there's a blue light on that other side. It had wings on it. There was a green light in the middle and it had a forked tail. He said, I know it was that weekend your mother-in-law came over. And he said, I just know I'm saved because I saw that. My daddy said, man, you didn't have salvation experience. You had a bad case of gas.
Right. Right.
He said, you could have drunk you a dose or two of Maalox. It took care of all that. Hello? Does anybody here tonight remember when you got under, I'm talking about real, deep, God-hunting, old-time Holy Ghost conviction? Brother Rolates wouldn't work, and Maylocks wouldn't work, Prozac or Valium wouldn't work, but praise God, a trip, hallelujah, to an old-fashioned altar where you knelt down a sinner and got up a child of God. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. He was dead, but he got delivered. He got delivered by the power and the authority of the Word of God. Jesus spoke it. Hallelujah. Oh my. I got to hurry. But I'd love to run me a little rabbit right here on the power of the spoken word. Think about it. The storms are raging. The disciples are helpless. And he walks out and says three words. It is I. Wham. Nothing. A battle was drawn through the ages. Hell on one side, heaven on the other side, and all war breaks out. And Jesus says, it is finished. Whoop. Amen. They go to arrest him. And all he says, I am he. Wham. They fell back. And he just goes to Lazarus' grave and says, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus, come forth. Peace, be still. I am he. It is I. It is finished. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Yesterday, today, forever. Past, present, and future. Woo! I'm here to tell you the power of the Word of God. He said, let there be, and it was. And the same one that made the light with his word, and the same one that caused the wind to blow with his word, and the same one that pollinated the flowers with his word, hallelujah, is the same one that spoke to your heart and spoke to my heart. We were dead, but praise God, we've been delivered by the power of the Word of God. And then I love what Jesus says. Lazarus, come forth. And I believe he came forth still bound up. Grave clothes and all. Here he came. Well, how did he get up if he's all bound up? How'd you get up when you was all bound up? By the Word of God. Because I guarantee you that was some old mossy back hypocrite church member somewhere in your life said, he'll never mount nothing. They won't never mount nothing. Bless God, be in prison for his 12. Some of you beat it. You're there for his 9. Oh, he'll never get off his drugs. He'll never drink. He'll never get off his drink. Bless God, he won't never quit running around. You'll be surprised what God will do. I said you'll be surprised at what God can do. He came forth out of that grave still bound up. And then Jesus, boy, I like this. Then Jesus said, loose him and let him go. I'm glad the same one that resurrects is the same one that emancipates. The same one that came to where you were and called you by name and brought you to life is the same one that set you free. I'm telling you, there's a God. He'll set you free. The freeing power of the blood. Aren't you glad he can break the chains? He sets you free. And if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free. Indeed, he will free you from your past. Lazarus wound up in them grave clothes. You know what that's a picture of? That's a picture of you and I being all bound up in what we used to be. The best news you've heard today is God can free you. from what you used to be. Hallelujah, Cole's right. Got a friend of mine. I've never understood this. You can have a mom and a dad, they can have two kids. Them two kids got same mama, they got same daddy, they go to the same church, they have the same raising, and one's an angel and the other one's a devil incarnate. I can tell by the way you mamas is looking at me, you can point to the one that's the devil incarnate. I had a friend of mine got saved in an early age, started preaching at an early age, booked 5 years ahead, great preacher. And he had a brother that wasn't worth shooting. Lie, steal, cheat, in and out of jail, in and out of dry out centers, about broke everything his mom and dad had. And my friend, everywhere he went, pray for my brother, pray for my brother, pray for my brother. Well, praise God, not long ago, God reached down and saved his brother. Oh, I'm glad God's in the brother saving business, in the mama saving business, the daddy saving business. Whoop! He told Zacchaeus, son, come down. I want to go home with you. He said to that Philippian jailer, thou shalt be saved in thy house. I'm going to need something, brother. God can save not only you, but God can save your family. Woo! God saved old brother. Not long ago, my friend said his brother came to hear him preach, and when he got through preaching, his brother came up to him. He was crying. My friend said, brother, how you doing? He said, I'm having a bad day. He said, what's wrong, brother? He said, my past. My friend said, no. What past? He said, you know, he said, all the trouble I caused mom and dad and everything. He said, you know, my past is really bothering me. My friend said, what past? He said, come on now, brother, don't monkey with me. He said, I ain't monkeying with you. He said, I'm asking you, what past? He said, oh, you know all that trouble and the jail and all that money. It's all, he said, you know my past. He said, what past? Yeah. Woo! Brother, can I ask you a personal question? Are you saved? That means you're justified. Absolutely. Well, that also means you ain't got a past. God has no record of your existence before Calvary.
I'm like a baby. Just call me baby.
Woo!
Yeah,
glory! Excuse me. I want to come up this way right here. Hallelujah. Don't get scared, honey. I ain't going to sit in your lap. But son, isn't it good to know when your mama won't forget, when your daddy won't forget, when your brothers and sisters won't forget, when your old nosy, mossy back neighbors won't forget, God did. What sins are you talking about? Woo! I don't remember them anymore. Hey, man. Hey, glory to God.
Yeah.
He said, what past?
Yeah.
He said, brother, what are you talking about? He said, son, the other night when you asked God to save you, did you believe with all of your heart that God saved your soul and changed your life? He said, brother, I really do. He said, well, son, you ain't got a past. It's washed away in the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ. Thank God I'm free from the guilt of the past. Free from the fear of the unknown. I'm here to tell you there's a God tonight that'll call you by name and raise you up and set you free. He was delivered and set free. Woo! Praise God. Last but not least. You say, what do preachers mean when they say last but not least? Usually that means 30 more minutes, praise God. He was dead. He was delivered. Our text, number 3, he's displayed. Chapter 11, he is dead and in the tomb. Chapter 12, he's sitting at the table. And guess who he's sitting beside? Jesus. And here come the Pharisees. Here come the Sadducees. Here come the independent, fundamental, plenary, no little Torah, hate everybody, Baptist. And say, who's that? That's Lazarus. No. It can't be him. Oh, yeah, it's Lazarus. Well, I thought he died. He did. I thought they buried the boy. They did. I went to the funeral. I sent flowers. Well, I thought they rolled a stone in the door. They did. Saw them do it. That's still him. Well, how'd he get out of that jam? See that man sitting beside of him right there? Woo! I can hear Sister Wiggledjaw from down there at the First Sanctimonious Stool of Do Nothing Church say, oh my God, Lazarus. Oh my God. What gives you the right to sit at the table with us good saints? And right there next to the Lord, you ought to be dead and in that grave. What gives you the authority to even act like you belong here? And I don't believe Lazarus ever misses a bite. He just said, I believe it just points to Jesus. And brother, if you don't think the Pharisees are still around, they got mad at Lazarus and wanted to kill Lazarus. It wasn't his fault he got resurrected. He didn't even ask for it. Jesus did it. I ain't never understood this. As long as he was dead, they act like they loved him. When he got delivered, they started hating him. That kind of tells me something this world just can't make up their mind. When you're a sinner living like the devil, they act like they just love you, love you, love you, and then you get a good dose of salvation, and then you become a party pooper and a Jesus freak. Come on now. And then they say, we don't like him. We don't like him. It don't matter. He's still alive. It don't matter. He's not dead anymore. He's on display. But even those that didn't like it couldn't deny the fact something happened to him. I guarantee you, you got some loved ones in your family. They didn't want you to drink, take drugs, and rob banks and live like a fool. They wanted you to get just enough religion so they wouldn't, other people wouldn't talk about the family. And they wanted you to get in church. Not one like this, but they wanted you to get in church. And they wanted you to get just enough religion so they could say something good about you when you did. But dear God, they didn't mean for you to get this much. Now here's what they say. Oh, Lord, you went off the deep end. You're out on the limb. You're probably one of them lemonade Kool-Aid drinking cults. You've been brainwashed by them old right wingers. Well, I'd rather be on the right wing, reading the right book, serving the right God, than being on the left and get left behind when Jesus comes back. I'm not in a cult. I'm in the family of God. I'm not drinking pink lemonade. I'm drinking new wine. I'm not looking for a hellbot comet. I'm looking for a glory cloud. I've not been brainwashed, but I've been blood washed. And I'm going to get out of here one day. And I'm going to the banquet table in heaven on display. Woo! He's dead. He's delivered. He's displayed. For he's dining, sitting at the table, enjoying a meal with the Savior. I'd love to be sitting at that table with Lazarus and Jesus at Simon the ex-leper's house. How's it feel to be alive, Lazarus?
Feel great.
What was it like, Lazarus?
I don't know. I was dead.
Shoo! Did you have a warm, fuzzy feeling?
No, I just got life.
Lazarus, how'd all that happen? Glory to God. If I wasn't a Baptist, I believe I'd shout right there a little bit. I think I will anyhow. Somebody said, what right do you have to act like you're so happy? What right do you got to claim to be a Christian? What right you got to get up and tell everybody you're going to be in heaven one day? Well, I'll just borrow a little line from a friend of mine from Kannapolis, North Carolina, Brother Sidney Coble, great songwriter. I borrowed one of his lines. I know that the Savior is waiting, His sweet face will be the first that I view. If someone asks me how I made it, quickly I'll say it, by the blood of the Lamb I made it through. That's good enough, isn't it? My plea is Jesus. My hope is Jesus. I rest my case at the foot of the cross. It's all because of Him, Jesus, the resurrection and the life. He's everything that He claimed to be and a whole lot more. And one of these days, we're going to do more and take a spiritual journey. We're going to take a physical and an eternal journey. And we're going from the tomb to the table. Lord have mercy. Give me two more minutes. They're in the table. They're at the table having supper. They all wrapped up about Lazarus being raised from the dead. About that time, somebody walks in with an alabaster box. And she said, I don't know what the rest of y'all feel like doing. Woo! Well, I feel like worshiping a little while. And she breaks her box, and the whole house. Billy Kelly said, you could smell an old-fashioned Holy Ghost revival. You say, what do you think that's a picture of? I tell you what I think it's a picture of. One of these days, we're going from the tomb to the table. And we're going to the marriage supper of the Lamb. About halfway through, I believe one of us is going to get up and say, I feel like worshiping a little bit. Whew. And cast our crown at His feet. Thank God, I want to tell you, brother, Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed. He invites His chosen people. Come and dine. Come and dine. And one day we're going from the tomb to the table. 30 seconds. Thank you. 45 seconds. Now, you young folks, you won't get it. But you old timers, you'll get this. Governor Jimmy Davis, you'll get it, said something like this in 1955. Many years ago in days of childhood, I used to play till evening shadows come. Then winding down the old familiar pathway, I heard my mother call at set of sun. Come home, it's supper time. The shadows lengthen fast. Come home, it's supper time. We're going home at last. In visions now I see her standing yonder, and her gentle voice I hear once more. The banquet table's ready up in heaven. Whew, God, it's supper time upon the golden shore. And son, one of these days, I believe the captain of our salvation is going to lean over the portals of glory and say to the church of the redeemed, come home, come home, it's supper time. Hey, the shadows lengthen fast. Come home, it's supper time. We're going home at last. 15 seconds. Has it dawned on you lately that we're on the threshold of hearing the Lord say, come home, come home, come home. And praise God, church, it's just about supper time, and we're headed from the tomb to the